This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 CUES Symposium here in the lovely, or on the lovely island of Maui. And look, we have in the studio lounge, Mr. Ed Cody, Chairman, Board Chair at PenFed Credit Union. How are you, sir?
All right, Mike. Great
good to
be with you.
You got the shirt on and everything. Yep. You're ready to go. You're all branded.
Yeah.
So good. Well, glad to have you here in the studio lounge. I see we might be closing it out with you, so you're our big closer for the conference.
Okay, no pressure.
No pressure at all. No pressure at all. So since we're at the end, any takeaways, any highlights from the conference you want to share real quick before we dive into the topic?
I mean, there were several great presentations. I've attended numerous events like this over the years. And the quality of the speakers they had here were, some of the finest I've seen in all my years of doing this. Yeah. And when you walk away from one of these conferences, what you really want to have is ideas, something that you can take back and actually work on, as opposed to, the standard kind of presentations you get at a conference.
Yeah,
I think. What I've taken away from this one, most importantly, is more thinking about the younger generations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when you look around at the credit union population, the directors, the CEOs, it's a generation of folks who may or may not be in tune with what younger people today really want.
Yeah.
And, it's sort of in some... There's some similarities I see with the post-Vietnam era and what's going on today, not only in our country, but around the world, right?
Yeah.
And so are we best prepared to be thinking about and moving our industry to adapt and react to, the future of our country, which are these millennials and Gen Z.
Exactly.
The children that, we want to see do well.
Well, I keep talking about, we talk over and over about a leadership succession plan at your credit union, which is obviously very, very important, but there's also a member succession plan, which is very, very important, and we have to deliver the products and services and the channels that they're going to use. So yeah, I'm totally, totally on board with that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that credit unions need to be fearful about today is the notion that my generation is about to pass trillions of dollars to their children and grandchildren. And when I first heard that, I had two thoughts. One, my wife and I needed to spend more money.
Have a new car, let's go.
And secondly, what are we doing in the credit union industry to attract them? So my 37-year-old and 40-year-old do not want to go into a branch. Their bank is on the phone.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So are credit unions really taking that in and focusing on that? And the survival of institutions, I believe, will be the ones who are looking at Gen Z and millennials and building the products and services that they demand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right now. And there was no time that we learned that better than the pandemic.
Right.
We were forced to go digital,
Yes.
So yeah, and so now we're kind of swinging the pendulum back a little bit and getting back into the human touch as well, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your topic here, what PenFed is doing, supporting various veteran, military, and community groups from both the credit union and the PenFed Foundation. So I love these types of stories because it's all about giving back to your communities, right? So, and your membership. So share with us a little bit about what you guys are doing in these areas.
I think one of the important aspects of the credit union, what we're doing is that giving back to the community is one of our main focus areas. I mean, it's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we're spread out in different locations around the country. And, so how do you orchestrate it? How do you make it work? And this really got a kick off in 2001 in April when we started the PenFed Foundation. Mm-hmm. So it was just pre-9/11, and our CEO at the time said, you know, we need a more organized and structured way of giving back, especially to those who serve our country and have put their lives at risk. And, you know, we had had Desert Storm and Operation Noble Eagle and all these things that were going on. And so we created that foundation, and it has grown over the last 20 years. But one of the things that, you know, when I talk about helping service members or having programs that deal with supporting those who were injured in combat or whatever, we built a 52-room, 104-bed hotel in a private public partnership with the Veterans Administration at the Palo Alto Polytrauma Center of the VA. And it opened in the middle of 2014. And since then, we have had, we have provided about 90,000 free bed nights in that institution, saving people about $22 million. And the reason we built this, we heard that these veterans were sleeping in their cars because Palo Alto, Stanford, it is an expensive place to be, right?
Yeah, unless you own Google,
right?
Anything there, you know?
So when we heard that, we said, you know, what can we do? And the VA was very good in supporting us, and we built this. And when I went out there on several visits, the stories of my fellow veterans, and you know, it brought tears to your eye, because you said, here was someone struggling, stage 4 cancer, you know, diabetes, whatever, and you provided a warm, receptive environment. We structured it so that there were like family rooms where people could come together at meals and hang out and just share their stories. So it had a cathartic benefit as well as,
you're building a community in there as well, right?
So that was, you know, the things that our foundation has done is, you know, that's the one I'm most proud of.
That's awesome, yeah.
But then also in the credit union side, we also donate, you know, and I think last year we contributed maybe about $2 million. And we've done things like educational programs, you know, high school kids in Puerto Rico, to the supporting the business executives for national security. So, you know,
that's a pretty big
from
spectrum.
Children
there.
To senior executives in the defense business. And one of the things that struck me, I was out in San Diego visiting our branch out there, and I was able to get over to the San Diego Food Bank. And I found out that of the 400,000 or 500,000 people that they feed every year, 10% of them were military families.
So San Diego's a big military town.
And so I got our CEO involved, and you know, we've made a donation there. And there are just throughout the country, you know, these types of things that are going on. Our branches are active in things like Habitat for Humanity, building properties, collecting food before Thanksgiving or Christmas. And so, as I said, it's in our culture. You know, it's, you know, something that our employees don't do because they have to, but they really want to do. And that creates some innovation in terms of the kinds of projects.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, isn't this a cool thing when there's so many things to give to out there that this becomes a full-time job, that this becomes a foundation-worthy type endeavor, that it takes up all your time, and you guys are giving back, and even, and the icing on the cake is that it's coming from a credit union. You know, that's just the icing on the cake for me, and probably for you guys too. That's something to be really proud of.
Yeah, I mean, the foundation also, we started a veteran entrepreneur investment program. And so veterans who want to start a business, we have a program where they come in and get some education, and then they pitch it to not only the credit union foundation folks, but investors who are looking for veteran firms to support and invest in.
So cool.
And so, we have these briefings, and then decisions are made in terms of how much funding, and to watch those organizations grow as a result. So that's been a fun project.
Inspirational. I mean, that must be very infectious in a good way for even the folks at the foundation to see things like this, and it just makes them want to work that much harder when they see success stories and things like that come from these, from all these efforts that you guys put forward.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you should write a book. All the cool things you're doing out there. And getting back to the conference here, any takeaways that you want to take back to PenFed for the next board meeting to share? I mean, I'm sure you have a pretty thick notebook or iPad typing stuff down.
So as I mentioned, you know, let's look at it from a strategic point of view, and the professor who just spoke on strategy. How do you tie all these individual piece parts together, right? So what I see, and I've been doing this, is like, I've had 40 years of being a volunteer at PenFed. I believe we are in a sea of permanent white water. You know, when you look at what's going on around the globe, there are things that are happening, you know, Russia, Ukraine, yeah, but look at what's going on in South America and other parts of the country. There are some unintended consequences that could be, you know, impacting us in the global economy.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about strategy now, not only do you have to be focused on, you know, where are we going in the future with, you know, younger people who want different things, but what have you been doing in the strategic planning world to prepare for this? So, I think from my perspective, the benefits of this conference is just making you a little bit more aware of what you should prioritize
right.
in moving forward with your thinking about the future, and how do we survive in this turbulent sea and make sure that we have the products and services and that our members need and help them do better financially and achieve their goals and their dreams.
Mm-hmm. And again, having it all come from a credit union foundation just makes it that much sweeter. So good stuff. Anything else to add, Ed? This is fantastic. I love doing stories on credit unions that have foundations. And even the credit unions that don't have foundations, they're still doing some great stuff in the communities. But when folks like you come in here and share with me and other our viewers as well about all the great things that your foundation is doing, it just makes you want to do that much more, you know? So, and that job is never, ever, ever done, especially serving, giving the service back to those who have you know, sacrificed for our country. So, yeah.
All I can say is, you know, go out and log on to PenFedFoundation.org. And if you like what we're doing, help us and make a contribution.
You got it. We'll do that. We'll put that link in the show notes, too, so they can get right to it. So
awesome.
Good stuff. Ed, thank you so much for stopping by today. Thank you for being the closer here of our conference coverage at the Q Symposium. I appreciate it. And above all, thank you for your service to our country as well. We appreciate that.
All right. Thank you.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.